Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, the president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout the Kansas City area with an office in Overland Park. You can find us online at coveryourassetskc.com. And David, a lot has happened since we last spoke.
Yeah, you think?
Just a few things.
Yeah, I had a big election and a couple of called outcomes, and maybe still waiting around for the ultimate shoe to drop with the president saying he's good with it. But hey, you know, some things take time, and it's been an exciting, interesting 2 weeks, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, as we record today's episode, we're essentially 2 weeks out from that election day. And yeah, still some things, I guess, up in the air, but we'll find out how it all transpires here over the course of a couple of weeks. And we'll break it all down maybe in once we get some actual conclusions from everything, David. I know that we'll maybe be able to break things down a little bit more fully of what to expect in 2021 and beyond. We've done a couple of episodes leading up to the election, talking about those different potentials and outcomes, and so it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out here at the end of the year.
Yeah, and we've had a bunch of downloads of the podcast we did probably 4 weeks ago about, you know, how to position your portfolio, if taxes are going to go up if Biden is the president. And so we've purposely not done anything in the last couple of weeks related to the election because, frankly, it's still a little bit unclear. Some of the things we're going to talk about today regarding end-of-year money moves have to do with future taxes and election outcomes, but nothing really specific. And so if we have something that is particularly actionable regarding the election outcomes, then we'll do a podcast on that. Otherwise, we're going to try to, you know, stick pretty close to home and talk about things we know about, and hopefully that's valuable to our listener.
We tend to think about things certainly in long term, and so we can have those discussions, you know, in any day, and we'll do so at the appropriate time. But you mentioned, David, you know, the more timely thing is the fact that 2021, no matter what happens with all of the presidential conversations, the calendar is going to flip to 2021 come the end of December 31 of this year. So we can at least bank on that certainty. And every time we have the year coming to an end, that's always a great chance for us to check in with you and see, all right, well, what kind of end of year money moves do we want to make? And so that's going to be what today's show is dedicated toward. But my initial question for you before we get to the actual moves, David, is why? Why is the end of the year, other than just being kind of a nice round thing to, you know, remind us, like changing the smoke detectors or something like that? Daylight savings time and then spring forward, that it's like supposed to be the reminder to change your batteries and your smoke detector. Why end of year? Why is that a good time to do this sort of like self-check of finances and make moves and that sort of thing?
Well, so that's a super good question. The three things that we're going to talk about today are things that are, they have a deadline of December 31st. Now, we may do a podcast here in the next couple of weeks of things you want to, you know, New Year's resolutions, financial New Year's resolutions, things that you want to kick off the new year with. But the three things we're going to talk about today, if you're going to do them, you have to do them before December 31st. And so that's why this is important. This was actually born out of a blog post we have on our website, which if you're new to our podcast, that's coveryourassetskc.com. And so we have a blog post there, and it was called the same thing, End of Year Money Moves. And what we're going to do is dig a little bit deeper into three of those topics because it was such a popular blog post.
Well, I look forward to that. So let's break down some of these end of year money moves. What's first on the agenda to dive into?
Well, the first is, in all prior years, it would have been called tax loss harvesting. But this year, you get to bolt long-term capital gain harvesting onto that. So really, tax moves that you might want to make in your taxable investment account, not your IRA, not your 401k, because those don't have tax implications when you're making changes. So this is just in your taxable brokerage accounts. So tax loss harvesting, what happens is, you know that when you get around to filing your taxes next year for what happened in 2020, if you took losses in your portfolio, which is very possible if you sold some things after that massive downturn we had in February, March of this year, if you sold something, the example here that I want to put out is, let's say you had $100,000 invested in the ETF that mirrors the S&P 500, and its ticker symbol is SPY. And let's say in March, you sold it for about a 30% loss. And we're not going to cover it here, but you know, you probably didn't sit there in cash. You probably reinvested it in something smart. But the topic of this is, what do you do with that $30,000 loss? So what happens is, if you don't have any other gains to offset that with, you don't get to use the entire $30,000 loss against your income this year. What happens is that it is capped, and you get to write that off in $3,000 increments each year for, say, the next 10 years. But what you want to be aware of is, in that taxable account, let's say that you did something really smart with that money. At the bottom of the market, you sold for that $30,000 loss. And instead of investing in the S&P 500, you switched it over to, let's say, the NASDAQ 100, the QQQ. Well, that thing has gone like a rocket ship since March 23rd, the bottom of the market. And so maybe you have a $40,000 gain. What you can do right now, before December 31st, is to go in and do a partial sale of that new investment, that QQQ, what you invested the sales proceeds into, and you can match off that gain against the full $30,000 loss that you took last March. So that's a way to use up that gain all in this year. You may have other things going on in that same account, and so that's why we're not giving specific advice on this podcast, because we don't know your specific situation. But what you do want to do is look into those taxable accounts that you have, see what kind of losses you've accrued that you've realized, and look over the next couple of weeks to see, are there gains I can take in that same account that will help me use up those losses so that I don't carry them forward into future years, but I get to use them all up in this year.
Some those are like some really good opportunities. This is not something small. Like, those are big moves to make and can have a big impact on somebody's plan if they make the right choices there.
They absolutely can. And then the one little twist that I want to throw in here, we talked about it on a prior podcast, but one of President-elect Biden's plans is to increase the tax rate on long-term capital gains. And everybody listening to this podcast knows that a long-term capital gain is a gain that you take on something that you've owned for more than a year. So this is important if it happens, because right now, let's say in 2020, if you're in the 10 or the 12% tax bracket, long-term capital gains for you are taxed at zero. If your income is under roughly $500,000 for a joint income tax return, your long-term capital gains are taxed at 15%. If they're above $500,000, they're taxed at 20%. Mr. Biden's plan is to tax those at 35 or 37%. So there would be if we knew for sure that long-term capital gains rates were going up in 2021, there would be an absolute reason to harvest those long-term capital gains now, even if you don't have losses to pair against them. But take those gains and pay them at the much lower advantageous rate that exists in 2020. Here's the sticker. Since the Georgia Senate races have not, they have runoffs in January, and a Republican Senate is very unlikely to go along with this Biden plan. If both of those seats in Georgia go Democrat, then there's a pretty good chance that capital gains rates for people making over $400,000 a year are going up. If one of those seats stays Republican, then there's a pretty good chance that long-term capital gains rates won't go up. So here's how I would sum that up. That's why this is not advice on a podcast. But what it is that I want you to give this some thought about your specific situation. If you happen to have income of over $400,000, there's a pretty good chance that sometime in the next 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years, the long-term capital gain rate is going to go up. And you would want to have in mind, what are your opportunities to harvest those gains, long-term capital gains, in the current year, such that you can pay a significantly lower tax rate? In this case, less than half of what you'll pay if and when the long-term capital gains rate goes up. That's a little bit wonky, but it's a really good opportunity for people with taxable investment accounts. If you have a taxable investment account, I'd encourage you to hit the rewind button on this and listen to this segment again, specifically as it relates to your taxable brokerage account.
Definitely worth a review, and that'll be something we're definitely following up with once we get some confirmation, not only on the presidential race, but it sounds like we do indeed need to also keep our eyes on Georgia, as many people are already, to see what happens there and what that might mean for taxes in the future as well. All right, David, that's one big end-of-year money move we need to think about and consider. What about the second one?
Well, the second one is related to gifting. And there's I get a lot of questions about gift tax. And 6 months ago, we probably did a podcast that related to gifting. But it's super important to understand this, that whatever gifts you give before December 31st, you can give up to $15,000 a year to anybody. And there's no tax to you or to them, and there's no reporting to the IRS of that gift. It's just a gift that you decide to give to anybody you want to, 15 grand or less, no gift tax. But I get the question, well, what if I give more than $15,000? Then the gift tax. I said, no. You still don't owe any tax, nor does the person who receives it. Let's say you give $20,000 to one of your kids. They don't have a tax on the extra $5,000 or on the $20,000. But what you have to do as the giver is file a form with the IRS with your tax returns. It's called Form 709. And all it does is say to the IRS, hey, I gave an extra $5,000 this year. And if at the end of my life I owe a state tax, then we're going to add that $5,000 back into it. So there's no gift tax involved in giving monies to your loved ones or, frankly, to anybody else you want to give. But there might be a reporting requirement. So let's say you want to give $25,000 to your kid. Well, you can give $15,000 to that kid, and your spouse, if you have one, could give $10,000 to that kid. And both of those require no reporting because each individual gift is under $15,000. So just to, the reason I want to clear that up is there is no gift tax or gift tax reporting if you give somebody $15,000 or less in 2020. And that amount will probably be a little bit higher based on inflation next year. The other thing you can do is you can pay somebody's tuition. You can pay somebody's medical expenses. And it doesn't matter how much you pay for that. Somebody goes to Harvard or Stanford, and maybe the bill is $50,000. You can pay that, and there's no gift tax on that either, as long as you pay it directly to the school.
Oh, that's
helpful. It's super helpful. It's a way where you can give away a lot of money without any estate tax, without any gift tax, without any calculations whatsoever. Let's say you know some people who have some big medical bills and you want to help them out. There's no gift tax involved in that either, as long as the money goes directly to the hospital or the doctor's office. You pay that bill directly and not give it to the person. So those are a couple of ideas on gifting. If you've been super successful over your life and you want to look to give away some money, there's a number of different ways that you can do it without paying any gift tax, without the receiver paying any gift tax. And a little bit of advice will take you a very long way in this area.
Great points, David. And I think gifting is something that people definitely have questions about. And this is a great time of year to certainly review progress and opportunities. So very good thing to add to our list of end of year money moves. What about the third and final one on today's list?
Well, this one won't surprise you, Walter, because you've often laughed at me calling me like the Roth conversion guru or something.
But that's right. But just your favorite topic, I would say.
Well, it is one of my favorite topics because I'm convinced tax rates are going up in the future. So if you're going to do a Roth conversion in 2020, it has to be done before December 31st. You likely know if you want to make a Roth contribution or an IRA contribution, you can do that for 2020 all the way up until tax day next year. But a conversion has to happen before December 31st. So, super quick review, all you're doing with a Roth conversion is taking money out of an IRA or a 401k, depositing it into a Roth IRA, and paying the taxes now. So, I've got a couple clients that I think are pretty good examples of how this might work. But as a general rule, the best time that I've seen to do this type of Roth conversion is between your retirement date and age 72, because at age 72, you have required distributions that start. So first example, I have clients who don't need to, in particular, I'm thinking of one particular household, but they don't need to take money out of their 401k, their now IRA rollover. But at 72, they're going to be forced to start taking money out, required distributions. Those required distributions are going to force this couple into a higher tax bracket because they have a pension, they have two social securities, and now they're going to have to start taking money out of their IRAs. So that's going to force them into a permanently higher tax bracket, even if Congress does nothing. Even if Congress never raises their tax rates, their personal tax rate is going up when they turn 72. So they have a window of opportunity now, and what we're doing is a series of Roth conversions over the next 5 years, where they're going to get money out of an IRA and put it into a tax-free Roth. That makes it tax-free forever. It makes the growth tax-free forever. And whoever inherits that money is going to get a tax-free pot of money for themselves. Example number two. I have a client who retired, a couple, and they retired with virtually every penny of their savings in 401ks. Now, they'd done a really good job of savings. They pounded away at this 401k for years, and it ends up being enough money, well more than enough money, to carry them through their retirement. However, they use that money to live on. The day after they retired, they started drawing money out of those IRA rollovers because they needed it to supplement their Social Security income. So they don't have an opportunity to do Roth conversions. It doesn't make sense for them to do that because they're already using that money pre-age 72. They're already using those IRA withdrawals to live on. So Roth conversions can be super important to your retirement plan, and it can be really important to the people who are going to inherit your money, if that's a thing for you, if you care about that. But it has to be planned, and there are usually ways to sequence these Roth conversions such that you manage your tax liability along the way. And once you get to age 72, when you're locked in to required distributions, the plan would be to have a big pot of tax-free money that you've already paid the taxes on at a lower tax rate than you're going to pay once you get to be age 72. So that's number three. We've got tax loss and long-term capital gains harvesting. We've got some good opportunities for gifting and Roth conversions. One of my favorite topics, because I'm convinced tax rates are going higher in the future.
You're either the Roth conversion wizard or the king of Roths. I don't know. We can brainstorm a good name to brand around you there, David.
We have to get a good logo to go with that, too.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We could certainly do that. You could wear a little crown. It'd be perfect. Good fit for you.
Yeah, let's only take this so far.
That's right. We'll do a characterized version of you, so it's a little bit more, you know, playful and not like we're crowning you king necessarily. But
I like it.
No, it's fantastic. Those are all really good end of year money moves. So there you have it. These are things that you need to think about, work on here at the end of the year. I'm sure over the last couple of minutes, you've heard a few things that you know that you might need to think about and work on. And if that's indeed the case, let me tell you how you can get in touch with David and ask him your financial, your retirement planning, your Roth conversion questions, perhaps. You can get in touch a couple of different ways by calling 913-317-1414. Again, 913-317-1414. Or by going online to coveryourassetskc.com. You can get in touch with us through the website and tap into lots of great information there. coveryourassetskc.com. And David, you left off the fourth and final end of your money move, and that's to just kiss goodbye to 2020 and be done with this crazy year, right? To a better and more stable 2021, hopefully.
If I had a drink in front of me, I'd be drinking to that, Walter.
I've never been one of those guys of, you know, oh, this year, let's let it be over. But nah, this year, I'm on board. I'm on board with everybody. So
it's going to be one for the memory books. I know that.
That's very true. It'll be interesting to see how 2020 is written in history in the years to come. But no doubt about it. Some still good things, some positive things, and some things to think about here at the end of the year when it comes to your finances and retirement. David, thanks for the help, and we'll be back on tap with another episode next week.
I'll look forward to that. Thanks, Walter. Right.
Very good. Thank you, David. Again, if you have any questions, check the show notes of today's episode. We'll have links in there to get in touch and where you can find David and ask those questions that might be on your mind. Until next time, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you on Cover Your Assets KC soon. Thanks for joining us.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.